This is Matt Webb. Cambridge 105
Radio. So it is a fraction after 2:30, and I'm pleased to welcome to Cambridge 105 Radio this afternoon Peter Sara, the community fundraiser at Marie Curie. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Not too bad. So first of all, just tell us what you do for the organisation as a community fundraiser. It sounds like a very grand title that you've got.
It's not as grand as I'd like it to be.
Oh, right, okay.
No, what it is I am sort of an overseer, really, of all fundraising activities in Cambridgeshire and in Bedfordshire. So that can range from anything from the street collecting that you see on the streets of Cambridge to the supermarkets in Cambridge as well. But also, you know, we have local schools who run sports days or what I call mufti days or non-school uniform. People call them different things.
Jeans for jeans day, jeans I think they used to call
jeans,
it at school.
They also call it, yeah. And sort of the real variety of different things that we do. Also, we have our, as most people know, our Great Daffodil Appeal, which is sort of our flagship thing we're known for, the yellow daffodil pin badges that people wear throughout March, and actually quite a lot of people wear them throughout the year.
And when it comes to Marie Curie, if people aren't familiar with the work that you do, just tell us more about the organisation.
Well, a lot of people have heard of Marie Curie, but not everyone knows what we do. It's something actually that I've found since I've started is people often only know what Marie Curie does because they've needed us, and so sometimes it's not good that you know actually what we do, because it's not normally a good topic to talk about. But what it is that we care for people who have a terminal illness. Now, that is the moment you have that terminal diagnosis, then that is when we will get involved. Often people think that it's solely cancer. It's not. We do a variety of different things. We do cancer, motor neuron disease, Parkinson's, dementia, Alzheimer's, heart conditions, COPD. There's a real mixture of sort of any terminal illness. We will be there, and there's a variety of services that we offer. Our nurses are what, again, we are most known for. But we also have our hospices. We've got 9 across the country, as well as some of our volunteer services, like our helper scheme, which is a bit similar to befriending, which I know a lot of people have heard about. And while I'm in Cambridge, one of the main things that we do in Cambridge is our research through the University of Cambridge. We are doing a lot of research at the moment into COPD.
What is COPD, for people who aren't familiar with that?
Right. I'm not going to pronounce it because I will get it wrong.
Okay.
But, and I'm sure one of your listeners will correct me when I do get it wrong. But if what it is, it's a respiratory problem that can have a long, can take years. One of the people who was in our study had it for 10 years. It can cause fatigue. You can be on oxygen for 16 hours a day. And, you know, a variety of other things. Often people have diabetes as well, which means that they can't leave the house. And there's a real sort of different illnesses that are all partly related to it, really. And one thing that our research has gone into is not necessarily a cure, but actually more how the GPs can help with help make people feel better while they've got that, while they've got COPD. One of the things which people may know is in some of the GPs' practices across Cambridgeshire, there is now a questionnaire that people will be given, and that is through the research done by Marie Curie to try and work out what's the best way to help those individuals.
And I take it that you help people across the age band, from yep. young to old?
Yep, it's mostly over the age of 18. And yes, all the way through. Again, this is one of the often misconceptions, is that, you know, cancer, you can only get it in early life, or same with most terminal illnesses. But actually, you know, terminal illness, you can get at any stage. Terminal illness doesn't always mean, you know, next week, next year, that you are going to die. Actually, you know, some people have a terminal illness for 10, 15 years.
I suppose it's how it's managed in a lot of cases, with medication, and obviously with the groundbreaking research done, not just in Cambridge, but across the world, that does help.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's sometimes there's a lot of research done into cures, and they are so important. And, you know, as I'm sure it's a figure that most people know, that more people are surviving cancer than aren't. And that's a brilliant figure. But it's if you have it, it's how it's managed and how you're looked after. And that's kind of where Marie Curie comes in. And, you know, our kind of strap line is, you know, light in the darkest hour. Because it's we often find that the nurses come in and people feel relaxed, feel more at ease when we are there.
Now, something that's really important for your charity is fundraising. Now, you're looking to start up a Cambridge fundraising group. Tell us about that.
So, as you may know, we have Marie Curie is yellow. Basically, it's the colour that is we're most known for.
Is that where the daffodil appeal came from?
Well, the daffodil appeal
shares the same colour.
Yeah, actually the daffodil appeal came first. The daffodil was in Wales, and that was, I think, around 50 years ago. And instead of the pin badges, people used to wear real daffodils.
Oh, okay.
Now, because we have this all over the country, daffodils don't last long enough that we can still use real daffodils. I think there are parts of Wales that actually do still give out real daffodils, but it's where the yellows come from. And yeah, now we have the yellow hats, the big sort of what we call mad hats. Also we have, you know, the yellow tabards, and people notice us and when we're on the when we're out collecting. So yeah.
And this Cambridge fundraising group, just tell us about how important it is to set it up and get it going.
Well, I have a brilliant group of volunteers across Cambridge and Cambridge itself. Last year, Cambridge actually raised, I think, the second highest amount in a street collection in the UK.
That's phenomenal. That's really good.
An absolutely amazing amount. It raised £1,700, and that was just on 5 hours on a Saturday in March.
Crikey, that shows the generosity of people around the city.
And it's absolutely amazing. And, you know, we had 30 volunteers that day across Cambridge. And those volunteers do a brilliant job, and we have them throughout the year, not just in March.
How did that make you feel, getting that sum of money?
It's amazing. And I only started in January, and I knew that Cambridge has a lot of potential. And I was the one giving out the tins and taking them back in at the end, and I could feel they're heavy, but it's quite hard sometimes, because it feels heavy, but it could be heavy of 2p's, or yeah, it could be heavy of pound coins. And actually, it wasn't heavy with either of those. It was heavy with notes, which is a phenomenal, you know, in times of austerity and people not having much disposable income, that people are able to just give £5, £10. I saw a gentleman give me £20 once, and, you know, that is an amazing amount of money to give. And the reason that we're setting up this fundraising group is to kind of harness that. And, you know, I cover Cambridge and Bedfordshire, but I need my local kind of people who know the area, people who have
local
that
patch, I think is the best
local
way to
patch,
say it.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to put it, really. And what we have is we try to have a group, fundraising group of about 10 people or so, who meet up maybe once a month, once every 2 months. And they organise. They're sort of the hands on the ground, if that's the easiest way to put it, really. And they do a brilliant job. And we have one in St. Ives at the moment. If I can make a plug for them.
Because yeah, of course.
They gave me a call earlier saying, if you're going on the radio, make sure you talk about us. they are actually doing a firewalk on the 27th of January.
A firewalk.
So for anybody who doesn't know what a firewalk is, it is hot embers that you walk across barefoot, and, you know, obviously raise sponsorship for it. But I've been guaranteed that you cannot hurt yourself. Now, I am not entering myself because I do not believe that. But I think it is. I have been guaranteed by the organisers that there is no way that you can hurt yourself. And it is actually only 4 steps. So it's only a small amount. And the reason that they do it at night is because they wait till the embers are not basically not as lit, so that you can see that it's easy to walk across. And this is just one of the things that our fundraising groups do. We also have our tea parties, which they hold in June, our Blooming Great Tea Parties. We also have collections throughout the year. And then also the tins that are on sort of counters in shops. I actually was got a chocolate bar on the way in, and the local local sort of corner shop has a tin on there, and it's amazing how much, you know, just people putting their pennies and their odd change in. You know, we probably have an average of £40-50 in a tin, and that's just amazing from often people who don't even know what Marie Curie does. We can't believe the generosity that people give,
and that money goes straight to helping those who are helping others, isn't it? And
exactly.
and it's important that steady stream of money comes in, as you say, in times of austerity. If you haven't got that money coming in, then services dry up and people haven't got that care that they would need.
Well, and that's exactly it. You know, people may know that £20 pays for a Marie Curie nurse to support someone for an hour. Now, I think that shows it is £20, but actually that's £20 extra that we need. So we actually have part funding from the NHS, but we are £20 short on every hour that we need. So every £20 means that we can use that to fund a Marie Curie nurse in someone's home, providing that care in often people's last hours.
And often it's for people who are isolated and not able to get out and about.
Exactly. You know, and isolated, yes, but also, you know, when it's, if for example, I know it's not just elderly couples, but if it's an elderly couple, sometimes the partner, the spouse, is not able to get out because they don't want to obviously leave someone who's in that pain sometimes. And the good thing is that our Marie Curie nurses come in and they're the light in the light in the hours that they need, really. And they can come in and they can go out and do a Tesco shop, or they can do something that means that they can relax for those maybe hour, maybe longer, but just give them a little bit of peace of mind that someone's there, someone's supporting them while they can go and get things done.
So if a listener wants to find out more, how would they go about visiting your website? What's your website address and your contact details?
Well, the website is www.mariecurie.org.uk. But if you want to get hold of me in particular, my office is actually in Northamptonshire, and that's 01604-258-761. And if you are looking at volunteering at all, then we have some collections coming up in November and December, but also we have our fundraising group meeting. So this will be the first meeting. It's feel free to pop along to. It's, you don't have to book or anything. You can just turn up. And it's at the Robin Hood pub in Cherry Hinton, and it's on the 31st of October at 8 o'clock.
Well, Peter, it's been fascinating talking to you, and keep up the good work that you're doing and the rest of your team as well.
Yeah,
hope
thank
that
you
very
much.
Maybe a couple of people go along to that meeting and yep. and help you out. So that was Peter Sarah, community fundraiser at Marie Curie. Thank you for joining me on Afternoons today.
Thank you very much.